Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
I saw an interesting article, and even after I read it, Marissa sent it over to me because she wanted to jump in on the conversation. But apparently they're a ticket selling platform called TickPick surveyed over 1,000 people on their experience with music, and they found out when the average participant recalled hearing their all-time favorite band for the first time and what age that would have been. So
okay.
Think about who your all-time... Do you have an all-time favorite band?
I do.
Yeah.
And I learned about them during the Bronze Age.
You did.
Or are you talking about your physical age? Okay.
Your physical age, yeah. Yes.
I do, and it's the Beatles.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And Casey, obviously, Fish is yours. Nick, Pearl Jam is your all-time favorite band, right?
And I know the age.
What was the age?
16.
All right, how about you, Case?
I was 18 when I heard them for the first time.
Okay. Marissa, you joined in on this conversation you sent me. Do you know what... Do you have an all-time favorite band? Because you sent me a list of like 5 bands.
Yeah, I have a really hard time picking one band, but I think I narrowed down to right at 13. There were 4 bands that I loved, and to this day I still love. It's Bob Dylan, Goldfinger, Green Day, and STP.
Okay.
Oh, wow. I thought Foo Fighters would be in there.
Yes, yeah. You're a massive Foo Fighters fan.
I think I didn't like Foo Fighters until a few years later, until high school.
Do you know, Preston, I was younger than this. I don't know what age they say most people do find out their favorite band, but I had an older brother. My older brother, Gene, is 9 years older than I am. And so he got into the Beatles, and I was, I was 8.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I kept hearing that stuff immediately. And I loved it.
When I discovered the Beatles, as were my all-time favorite band, I was in, I think I want to say I was in 5th grade. Now, I knew of them, but
yes.
When I decided, wow, I really want to dive into all of this. I love every bit of this music. It was around that. So 5th grade is about 11?
10, 11.
10, 11. I was 18.
Like
I got
Kathy, you have an all-time favorite band?
No.
Okay.
Nope. I mean, I have like, you know.
You like music.
Yeah. Bands that I like and I would continue to go see, but I don't have one all-time favorite band.
So the average age for the first time you hear your all-time favorite band is around 13 years old.
13. Oh,
no, that's according to this this particular study or the research they did.
I wonder if it runs along with the first time you acquire a device to listen to your music on.
For me, your own.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, Steve, having my own Walkman, and then at 13, starting to get into rock music that was mine and not my parents.
Where you could have sway over it. So I got my first gramophone. and I remember it was a column, like with little nubs on it.
Yeah.
I'd crank it it was amazing to hear the Beatles that way.
Yeah. It was Edison saying
it was
Mary Had a Little Lamb, right?
And now, a new song from the Beatles.
Now, my second favorite band, which is Rush, that was around 13. That was about when I discovered them.
Right.
First I had heard a couple of songs. And then somebody played 2112 for me, and I was like, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to dive into it, and then I started really fanning out.
The phenomenon now is, so my music runs, like I love alternative stuff. I love contemporary. I mean, it runs all over the gamut. I think of really, so you take kids in the 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 range now, they can hear something, you know. And we've said this before, they like a band or find something that they like, and lo and behold, there's 12 albums out already.
They can
get a whole catalog.
And here's another thing, because my oldest son, Parker, while he does love the Beatles, and I would put them as his first favorite band, but the majority of songs that he listens to, I don't even consider to be songs. So he goes
like EDM?
No, he goes on YouTube, and there are these, basically, they're like parody songs about video games and stuff like that.
Oh, really? Like,
wait,
yeah.
Who listens to this?
Parker does.
Okay.
And it's all
That's
about...
That's his world, though.
It's all about, you know, Fortnite and all these different games. And,
yeah.
And they're like rap or songs or parody songs. And I mean, but he listens to them all the time.
Wow.
It's music to him. It's,
huh.
Yeah. You know, I see it as just parody, throwaway stuff.
Novelty stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of how I feel about, like, certain punk music and stuff like that. I'm like, what, you know, and I remember asking, it was a comedian who was in here, what is it about punk music that you like? The sound, you know, and he was like, it's a feel.
It's visceral.
It's a visceral feel.
No, I get that.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, my favorite band didn't really even release an album until I was 14 years old.
Is that so? Fish ended up on your radar when you were 14.
No. I'm just saying that they didn't even release an album until I was 14 and weren't really ever mainstream. So
when did you?
That's why it took so long for me to find them. But at 13 years old, Guns N' Roses was my favorite band.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was just about to ask you what you thought about GNR, because you and I are the same age.
Yeah.
And I remember vividly when Appetite came out.
Yeah.
And Steve, again, talking to like owning your own rock music. My parents probably to this day still don't like Guns N' Roses, but I did.
My mom loved them. Did they? Did she really?
Yeah,
so loved, did my mom.
I remember coming home from a dance, St. Kevin's dance, and she surprised me. She bought the GNR Lies album for me.
Wow.
And, like, she really bought it for herself.
Did she? But, because like, of
you
Patience?
Said your mom got on their tour bus, right?
No.
Did she like the song Patience?
Yeah. I mean, Sweet Child of Mine is her favorite song.
Oh, wow.
She loves that song. But, you know, so that maybe kind of helped out with, you know, me being able to. Because, you know, I had friends that listened to heavy metal when I was younger. And I remember listening to Ride the Lightning in my dining room. And, my sister came. She's like, why are you listening to this? And I'm like, I don't know, because my friend like it.
All right, so let me ask you about your mom and GNR, but like cuts like It's So Easy and stuff like that. Did she like that?
Dude, I don't know.
Panties around your knees with your ass in the breeze doing that grind with the pump and squeeze.
I'm sure. I am sure she loves that.
Panties on your knees with your ass in the breeze. Come on, everybody. The mashed potatoes are up.
Maybe your mom's not a lyrics kind of a person.
Little and sweet.
Mom's more about the guitar.
I was surprised. My mom loved AC/DC and Guns N' Roses and all that stuff. She just, you know.
My dad wore a Guns N' Roses shirt for the longest time.
No, really?
Yeah, absolutely. So we always had, a strong rock influence in the house, and I think that's a good entree, you know?
I've been watching my kids go discover their favorite bands, and, you know, my middle child, Carter, is, when he fell into the music of Queen, he was like, this is incredible.
This is
amazing, and he just submersed himself in that, and I'm very, very proud of that fact, because I turned him on to it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you need to check this guy, Freddie Mercury, out.
That he just didn't automatically recoil at something his dad was introducing him to.
Yeah, he was pretty transfixed by the whole thing and Freddie's presence, because I showed him a video. But then my daughter, on her own, went and through a friend and has found her favorite band, which she lives and breathes for, which is 21 Pilots.
Right, yeah.
And I'm very proud of her because she loves that music. It's good, substantive music.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for that fact that that she has had found a favorite. You know, yeah. I think it's really cool. But they're finding that the data shows that friends are the biggest influence on music tastes.
Yeah.
Followed by radio.
Yes. Thank you
very much. Films. Fathers, mothers, TV, and other sources.
Okay.
Siblings, I guess. Yeah, it's not mentioned in here, but yeah.
Older siblings? Does it mention?
No, but that's where I got a lot of info.
That was me. That was a
younger sibling probably, you know, introducing you to the Wiggles.
There you go. Siblings, 33%. 48% of respondents said their older sibling exposed them to music their parents wouldn't have approved of.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because I'm the oldest, and I didn't get anything from my younger brothers until later in life when they introduced me to other bands. But for me, it was Friends, when you talk about Pearl Jam. And I remember vividly driving up and down the Blue Route, and my friend Chris Cornacci had a Subaru, and in the back, we would sit in the back, and he put in 10. He put in the cassette, he had one of those fancy cassette players where you could advance song to song to song and not just hit the record, you know, hit the forward button. And we would listen to Alive and Even Flow and Jeremy over and over again. And, like, to me, it's a vivid memory in my mind.
Yeah. Marissa?
Yeah. I'm relating each one of those bands I mentioned earlier to a thing. So first was Bob Dylan, because I heard Hurricane on the Dazed and Confused soundtrack.
Yeah.
And so my dad was like, oh, wait, you like this guy? Let me introduce you to that. So my dad and I had Bob Dylan.
How old were you at that time?
That came out in 96, so I was 13.
Okay, wow, okay.
Yeah, and
to get into Dylan, you know, with the other music you like is wild.
Yeah, well, I had no idea what I was, like, I was singing along to Hurricane, not realizing the social impact of the song that I was listening to. And then stealing the Dookie album from my brother just totally blew my mind, and, like, that artwork. And then Goldfinger was you guys playing that on the radio.
Back at Y100.
Yeah. We did play a lot of that,
There's my life in music.
Speaking of Dookie, and I'll have the story coming up in music news, but apparently the other night, it might have been last night, I'm not sure, but two nights ago, Green Day were all bowling and doing karaoke in Lancaster.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. They're working on their production for their show.
Well, Butch Walker lives out there. And so Butch, who's a bit of history with MMR, we did a band on the boat with him years ago.
Who's Butch Walker?
He's a singer-songwriter, but he's also a producer, and he's producing the next record with these guys.
Nick, some of the best engineers in recording are Amish. Okay. A lot of people don't know that.
You know, you have to be a real genius.
Yeah, we're going to do an album raising.
Yeah.
There's also, like, I don't necessarily know how to word it, like, but basically a soundstage out there, because I just found out that, like, Fish goes out there to warm up before their tours and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've got the details coming up in music news, but there's a big thing in Lancaster where a lot of bands go and get that stuff done. All right, let me get to some, is there something else you want to mention?
What I was going to say is, like, there aren't many albums that you really can listen to, like, you know, front to back, back to front. And that's why, like, when I was growing up in those formative years, the mixtape was like an art, you know, and just, you know, having the flow be right. And that's, like, we were talking about siblings, you know, my older brother was a major influence in the music that I had listened to, and he had put the mixtapes together. So that's all I was going
to
say.
All right. Let me go to Matt. Hey, Matt, you're on the air. Good morning.
You guys rock.
Wow. Thanks, man. What's up, dude? Tell us about your favorite band, musical influence, so on.
So I'm pretty young. I'm only like 23, but back in, like, I'd say it was the mid 2000s. My parents got me an iPod, and it had all their music on it because I didn't really know any music at the time. And the one band that stuck out to me was Kiss, because the artwork and had all the, you know, the cool face paint and everything. So when I was like, it was in 2009, so I must have been around like 12. My dad took me to the Kiss Alive 35 show in the Wells Fargo Center. And that was like my first ever concert experience. I remember it vividly, seeing a bunch of grown guys walking around in makeup, and it was just like,
mind
blowing, man.
So Matt, that's you're right in line with that. This, you know, you got your own device to listen to the music on, and I think now. Because honestly, when I was a kid, I mean, I was not into like doo-wop and, you know, I mean, so stuff that would have predated me, you know, I never found myself listening to that. So, I think the volume of really, I hate to sound pompous about this general format, but the amount of good music available now is much larger if you're talking about rock and pop music than it was years ago.
My parents didn't influence me at all.
Yeah, nothing, with music. I mean, what were they into?
They were into, well...
Death metal?
No, a lot of country. However, you know, like Tom Jones was really big at that time.
Tom Jones,
1970,
yeah.
So I do like some of that stuff. But they didn't really have favorite groups or anything that...
Same.
That I would be influenced by.
My father would listen. This is what you like. They'd put on stuff like on a... You know, they would have a few pops, as my dad would say, and it was like on the weekends, and I'd hear everything from Roy Clark to Wagner's Ring Trilogy to the soundtrack to Born Free to like Victor, all this weird stuff. And after a while, you're like, oh, okay, I guess that's it. But when you get control of your own music and your own device, that's, as we said earlier, that's where you start to really develop your taste.
That's true. But I was lucky because my parents listened to MMR. You know, my parents lived here. And so, like, I was introduced to, quote unquote, classic rock through my parents, through this radio station, you know. So I was loving, you know, the band like Beatles and Stones and The Who because of their love of MMR.
I'm Pierre Robert.
The Nighthawk?
15 years old.
My mom used to clean the house to Donna Summers. So that's,
oh, really?
That's what I grew up listening to.
By the way, so there's a bit of research here that talks about parents who have tried to influence their child's music tastes. So I think you may try to do that to some extent, try to turn them on to what you like, and hopefully they like it and you have that in common.
Yeah, yeah.
But the percentage who have tried to influence their child's music taste by preferred music genre. So, the highest percentage who have tried to influence their children tried to influence them into indie rock, indie music. Next is hard rock. That's 75%. It says percentage who have tried to influence their child's music taste by preferred music genre, 75% indie rock.
You know, Spielberg tried to turn his daughter on to indie rock, and she's doing porn now.
Yeah. Doing porn. Fathers were more likely than mothers to try to influence their child's music taste if they were fans of indie rock, by the way. Also followed by jazz, country and folk, classical and pop. Regular... rock as none. Their mothers were more likely than fathers to try to influence their child's music taste if they were fans of hard rock, classic rock, heavy metal. The chicks are rocking.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
I mean, look at Sarah here. She's a complete rock chick.
And hers all came from her parents.
Yes.
Really?
So, Kathy, if you, as you know, we try to get the cats to listen to stuff, but we don't have kids. They don't, though. So, but when you do, do you just kind of put it on and walk away like, let's see what happens? Or do you say, hey, check this out?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
Okay.
So the Beatles, we just kind of put on.
Right.
And they all love the Beatles, which is great. I tried a couple of times to play some Rush for my kids. And I'm like, you should listen to this. I'm like, you know, this is really cool, complex, awesome musicianship.
Don't just hear it. Listen.
Right over their head.
What you have to do is then remember the times like Casey has tried to get you to listen to Fish, or you've tried to get Casey to listen to something. And
one time, so my daughter and I play this game where we'll go in the car and we'll do one for one. She'll play a song, and it's always a 21 Pilots song. And then I will try to find something in my catalog that kind of matches the tone of that song. We do this, try to match the theme or the texture of the song. We play this little game back and forth. Or sometimes we'll say, I'll play a cool song, you play a cool song. So one time I put on, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna swing for this one, you know. I'm gonna try something a little bit
different. Squirrel Nut Zippers.
No, I put on like I think it was like, so this is Love from Van Halen, or it might have been, or, you know, Mean Street or some banging Van Halen song. And at the end of the song, I go, I didn't know if you'd like that or not. She goes, yeah, I checked out about halfway into it.
Oh, no.
But she was honest with me.
No. I didn't like it, old man.
Yeah. I think, too, part of it is just like parents telling the children, like with JC, he's only 8, but he'll be like, I don't like your music, turn it off. He wants to listen to something else. Meanwhile,
what's he listening to?
But meanwhile, it's just because I'm listening to it. It's not because he doesn't like it. He goes to this garage band school, and Mike, the guy that runs it, will have them play a song, and now all of a sudden he loves it. I'm like, that's the song I had on the radio, you know, 2 weeks ago. And he's like, no, it wasn't.
You little punk.
It was a different song.
Press, I do the same thing with my kids. And it's funny because my oldest, she hates Fish.
Yeah.
And so she and I don't necessarily see eye to eye on our musics because a lot of times when we do one for one, it'll be Fish on my side and it'll be like show tunes on her side. And I'm like, oh, my God, how many times can I listen to the Newsies soundtrack?
What a hellacious trip that must be.
What other 14-year-old girl out there is listening to Newsies? She loves it, though.
That's her deal.
She loves show tunes. And you know what? My sister was like that.
Did you see Modern Family? They had a perfect episode of this. The Cam and Mitch have their daughter.
Yeah.
And so she's into this YouTube star who's, you know, this singer and so on and so forth. And that was like last year.
Yeah.
And then they get in the car. Turns out she loves to listen to like thrash rock now. And it totally changes. You know, and that's... That's how, you know, you go through your musical taste. You jump around a lot.
My son will often take the control of, and I have to give it to him. Like, by the way, let me just a side note here. The general rule as a passenger in a car.
Don't touch the radio.
You don't touch the radio unless you're asked to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Touch my radio.
Dude, Chuck goes in and he touches my volume or right
can't
away.
No. I mean, I don't have passengers in my car very often because no, you don't touch the radio.
The rule is
driver's privilege.
Yeah. Touch my dong first, then you can touch the radio.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That's the cost.
That's the cost.
All right, I was in the car with my best friend over the weekend, and she listens to the radio so loud, like ridiculous, and now having a conversation with me like this and not turning it down. So I did go over, but I kind of did it when she like turned her head and I tried to turn the volume down just a little bit so we could have a damn conversation.
I'm okay with that. I'm all right with that.
If you're trying to talk or grab the wheel.
Yeah.
But listen, and also I would never do that in one of your cars. Right. Maybe Nick's, but right. I would never do that in one of your, you know what I mean? Like it would have to be somebody that I was
Why Nick?
Shut up. No, but you know what I mean? It would have to be somebody that I was like my best friend. I was really close with. I'm okay if I turned down her radio.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Marissa.
Never giving you a ride anyway.
I want to defend Chuck because I saw this as a backseat driver between the two of them. When we turned on the car, it was in the middle of some like Fish jam and it was cranked to like 20. And Chuck was just like, oh, no. And turned it down. So I defend him a little bit.
No, don't defend him at all because, I mean, it's what he does all the time. But listen, I listen to my music loud.
But see, that's what I'm saying. You're close with Chuck. Yes. He felt like he could do that in your car.
He did, and he can't. And I told him that.
He doesn't care.
It's the number one rule.
But, I was riding with you one time, I almost got out of the car.
and you hadn't stopped.
It wasn't Fish either. It was some Mariah Carey ballad.
Yes.
That I was just, I'm like, no, not now. Not now.
Which one was it? Was it If It's Over?
I don't remember.
That's a good one.
Is that a good one?
Yeah, it is a good one.
I'm missing out here, I guess. Hang on, let me go to some calls. Talking about people who have influenced your musical taste or when you first found your favorite band, because the average age, according to this study, is 13. I'm going to go to Peter. Hi, Peter. Good morning.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Good. What's up, Peter?
Good. Yeah, I was probably about 14, 25 years ago, and I was learning to play the electric bass. And rather than reading sheet music, my brother's like, here, listen to some albums. And he gave me the Police, the singles album,
yeah,
and just turned me on to the Police. And, it was a great album to learn the bass to as well. You get your fast-paced songs.
And did they become your favorite band?
Absolutely. Saw them twice on the reunion. I've seen Sting a couple times in concert. Actually met Sting in person. It was
cool. Nice.
So there you have a perfect example. It was your older brother influencing you. Actually, if you watch, Preston, the Sing Street. The older brother is he's the one who takes his younger brother through this musical journey throughout his life and introduces him to all sorts of music, and that influences what his band is playing.
It's cool when that happens. Yeah. My sister turned me on to Van Halen, and Van Halen is one of my all-time favorite bands as well, so I do owe her for that. I like to believe I probably would have discovered him anyway.
Right.
But that person who says, here, and especially if it's a band that's already got an existing catalog that's been around for a while,
you can dive back in.
And you can go, here, here's a little taste. A little taste of this, and then all of a sudden you're like, I need everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which record did you listen to for Van Halen with your sister first? Do you remember?
The first song was And the Cradle Will Rock that I heard, and I'm like, well, this is intense.
Yeah.
Because I never, you know, it was kind of dark and heavy, and I heard Eddie's playing, and I'm like, what? How do you do that with a guitar? And then it opened up, and then I went back to the first album and started listening there.
Did MTV influence you guys? Because it did for me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. MTV was a whole other ball game.
I was into a lot of the stuff that they were already, the first videos were.
Right.
So, like, stuff that was called progressive, a lot of those videos, that actually fueled the early days of MTV, because these bands, they were trying to get any traction they could, and they would all make these films.
Yeah.
And so and they ended up on MTV. So you'd get bands like The Cure and Echo and the Bunnymen and all these weird, and you would get Tom Petty initially, and then the other more established bands got into it. But yeah, it sort of reinforced what I was listening to.
So Dire Straits, for me, I didn't know earlier Dire Straits, and then Money for Nothing came out, and that's a really cool video. And then Walk of Life is a great video. It's all these sports highlights.
Yes,
it's fantastic. And then you're like, oh, wait a minute. This band has like six albums beforehand that you can go back to.
I think it's awesome. Because I clearly remember going, when's the next album coming out?
Yeah.
It's new music coming.
Yeah. Let me go to, we got a lot of different calls here. We're not going to have time to get to all of them. I'm going to go to Steve. Hi, Steve. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Yeah, one of the reasons I called was to see, I wonder when MTV dropped off of that data list, because it was so huge.
Yeah.
Just in the 80s and 90s, just huge. But my favorite band is Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, but I was probably about 12 when I started diving into the albums. You know what I mean? Like,
how established was the band by the time you had heard about them? Did they already have a few albums out?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They were up to Let Me Up, I've Had Enough. So it was right before Full Moon Fever.
Okay.
Right before it exploded.
Yeah.
Right. And that was my first concert when I was 15.
Yeah.
Was Full Moon Fever. But I think the first album that I really dove into was Damn the Torpedoes. And I was like, oh my God. Because I had heard the stuff on the radio, you know. But when we went camping with friends, they had the albums. But I was also really into Pearl Jam in the 90s. I dropped off. I'm not a fan like Nick is. But I remember the first time I heard Pearl Jam, I was a member of the Black Crowes fan club, and they used to send out like singles, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
Singles.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they sent a single out of this new band, Pearl Jam, they wanted everybody to check out. And I was like, why are they sending this out? Like, who? I didn't sign up for the Pearl Jam fan club.
Yeah, Jeff Ament loves the Black Crowes. And the reason they hired Brendan O'Brien as one of their producers was because Brendan O'Brien produced some Black Crowes stuff. So I love when other bands influence your musical taste and choices as well.
Okay, yeah, because I didn't get to, I never understood the correlation, but I think it was Alive, and I don't remember what the B side was, but I was like, oh my god! And then from that moment on, I was into them. I mean, all the way through. God, I don't even know the last album. I dropped off, like I said, but it was weird to get an album from another band.
Oh yeah, there was. I told the story on air a number of times. I got turned on to a couple of bands because of mistakes made by the Columbia record club.
Yeah.
Like I go, what the hell is this? Uh-huh. Steely Dan was a perfect example. And I go,
all right, what is this?
Yeah. All right, thanks. Steve, appreciate it. I love this one. I assume this is from a guy. It says, my first CD was Shut Up and Dance by Paula Abdul, and it was at that point that I should have realized I was gay. I guess it didn't happen until later on. Sometimes you don't know.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm so gay.
Well, it's interesting. Think about that today. It's kind of fun to go back and find out where you started your love affair with your favorite music, your favorite band, who turned you on to that, where those influences come from, and who the other people you have influenced maybe, and turn them on to stuff. It's so great. And I know Casey cherishes being able to turn music on to people because he tries to do it to me all the time.
Right.
And when you do hit with something, it's pretty cool, right?
Yeah. I actually, I've stopped trying to do that because
you're not very receptive. I know. I'll be like, hey, I want you to hear something. I'll be like, what?
Yeah, I don't do it anymore because it makes me feel bad about myself.
They're called the milk carton kids. I think you're really going to like them.
I know what you're going to like and what you're not going to like. You know?
You do?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
This is a jug band out of Missouri. I think you're going to like them.
No, but when you do connect with someone on a music level, it's pretty awesome. I've realized that like with Rush, I really don't have a lot of people to talk to about that band.
Yeah.
Most of my friends the people that I see regularly aren't really into them. Now the Beatles. Pretty much.
That's pretty easy.
Most of the people you can talk to them about, and that's cool.
Are there support groups for Russia?
There should be.
Yeah.
But the guy, listen.
With donuts and everyone smoking.
That's what was so cool about getting in the band that I'm in, Saint. All those guys love Rush. And we sit down and we will just sometimes talk about the band.
I know.
And now I've quit.
Now you've quit them.
But it's awesome to have those guys to talk to that music about.
But at the end of the day, you're just trying to share something that's important to you with other people.
Yeah.
And then it's a bond that you can create. And so, it's something that you'll carry with you for the rest of your life, with your kids, with your friends, with the people that you listen to on the radio.
Yeah. I apologize to those who've been on hold for a long time. We didn't have time to get to you, but we've got to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. I got some bizarre file stories on the way. We have our buddy John Heffron who's stopping by. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club and a few other things to get to. Lots of stuff to give away. We're going to have to do some kind of prize blowout at some point.
Yes.
We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
More podcasts from Preston and Steve available at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.